Good morning. Very warm welcome, as always, to our worship this Sunday morning here at Water Lane. And a welcome to those who will be listening at Carr's Court or listening to the recording later on. There's just a couple of notices this morning which I would like to draw your attention to. There is a circuit service for the Easter offering at this church. That's at 4 o'clock this evening, this afternoon. So 4 o'clock, circuit service, all welcome for the Easter offering. Please do try and attend as it happens to be here this year. The funeral service for Beryl Jones will be at 3:15 on Tuesday. Now, I should say service of celebration for Beryl and for her life. As we think of her, she has sent or left a message that it's to be a service of celebration. Please don't wear black. Please wear bright colours or colours. She's a lady of colour, and she would want this to be a celebration. So that's 3:15. For people coming to that service, there's limited car parking, so that will be reserved for the family, and there will be quite a few people here. So please park elsewhere around Wilmslow. There's obviously plenty of parking around, so if you would please do that. Katie and Stuart's just ask us to bear in mind, for those who don't know, the annual church meeting will be on in 2 Sundays' time with the morning service. So there'll be the morning service, and then it will go straight into our annual church meeting. So all welcome. You will be getting information about that quite shortly, notices the reports. But if you have anything that you'd like to bring to that meeting, to think about the building up of the worship and the witness of this church in the community, please do keep that in your thoughts and prayers, how you may want to bring things to that meeting and to our church. So that's in 2 weeks' time. I have just one notice of thanks also for the flowers from the church. This is from Maureen Beeston, and she has just said it was so lovely to receive a bunch of fragrant, colourful, fresh flowers from the church. She was thrilled. So thanks the miracle of modern antibiotics and the wonderful care she was given in Macclesfield Hospital. She is now slowly, in quotes, getting back to normal. So thanks so much to the church for that, and please keep the family, keep Maureen as well, in your thoughts and prayers. So now it's my great pleasure to welcome Bob Bartendale to our pulpit and to preach this morning. Bob, as some people will know, is secretary for local preachers, so he brings a wealth of experience and information from the connection. We so much look forward to, we'll set the bar, you know. We welcome you, Bob. Look forward to what you have to say to us after a short introduction, a short introit from the choir.
So that's me off the hook. Jesus stood among them, says Luke, and said to them, "Peace be with you." We are Easter people. We worship the risen Christ, and so we sing his praises. And we're going to start by singing hymn number 297, "Christ is Alive." Let Christians sing. The cross stands empty to the sky. Let's sing together.
Christ is alive, let Christians
stand, let us pray. Christ is alive. Let Christians sing. We rejoice, O Lord, that we can proclaim these wonderful words. Through the miracle of Easter, darkness has been overcome. We find ourselves surprised by the light. Once more, we see the possibility of new life. We praise you, Lord. Christ is alive, no longer bound to distant years in Palestine. We thank you that our faith is grounded in a real historic event. That you did live and die in a real place, in real time. We rejoice in the glimpses of your humanity that we read in the Gospels. We praise you, Lord. Not throned above, remotely high. We struggle to understand why you persevered in your love for humanity. Why you would choose the path of suffering and death for us. Why it was necessary for you to lose your life so that our lives could be saved and secured. We praise you, Lord. In every insult, rift and war. We can only imagine what it cost for you to live the life you did amongst us, to suffer the pain and rejection, the hatred, the betrayal. And we praise you that you did not abandon us, that even now you hear us and empathize with us. You answer our prayer and offer us freedom from everything that would keep us captive. We praise you, Lord. Christ is alive. His spirit burns through this and every future age. We praise you and we worship. We want to know more, to understand more, to serve you better. Through our thoughts, our words, and our lives, to make your name known in all the earth. Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you. Amen. When he appeared to his bemused disciples in that upper room in Jerusalem, soon after Jesus had been crucified, he told them this: all people of every nation must be told in my name to turn to God in order to be forgiven. Do you remember Domino's? When I used to visit my granny in Macclesfield years and years and years and years and years ago, there were several things I remember about her home. One was that there was no heating apart from a coal range in the back room. Another thing I remember was that upstairs there was no lighting apart from one gas mantle and a few candles. Another thing I remember was that there was nothing ever to do. There was an old cupboard with some ancient old jigsaws and stuff in there, most of which had pieces missing, because I tried them all numerous times. But there were some dominoes. And dominoes provided hours of endless fascination. Because even if I didn't actually play dominoes, there was all sorts of things you could do with a set of dominoes. Just excuse me. Yes. Talk among yourselves. I'm just having a little bit of a nostalgia thing going on here. What was it that Jesus said to us? All people of every nation must be told in my name to turn to God in order to be forgiven.
All people. That's a lot of people. How many billion people is that now? 5 billion, is it? 6 billion? And those are only the ones alive now. I mean, when we can consider and think about all the ones who've always lived, that's ridiculous. All people, in all nations. How many nations are there? There must be hundreds of nations now, and there's new ones springing up all the time. South Sudan is the latest nation, apparently. In all the world. All people in all the world. Well, for those of you who were hearing a hissing sound before the service, this was the cause of it. All the world. I can spend hours looking at maps and looking at globes and discovering places that I didn't know were connected to each other. Kyrgyzstan. Who knows where Kyrgyzstan is? Can anybody name a country that it's next to? Kazakhstan. Yes, you're right. Kazakhstan. Would you like the globe to play with? All people. No, you're not allowed to just leave it on a chair there. You have to keep it moving. That's part of the game. All people in all the world. He's taking the soft option and giving it back. All people in all the world must be told in my name to seek the forgiveness of God. How on earth is that going to happen? To be forgiven. What's all that about? Forgiven. Forgiven for what? Forgiven for everything. That, surely. Who could possibly do that? But this is a message that seems worth telling. All people in all the world. And it's tied in with peace. Jesus says, peace be with you. What is going on here? Who could possibly tell a message like that throughout the world? And who's going to tell that message? Well, Jesus says, you are the ones to tell that message to all people throughout the world, the message of forgiveness through God. Because of what I have done on the cross, this is incredible. Well, we've got a task on here. Who on earth is going to tell all people everywhere? Well, you know, something I learned from the dominoes, and something you try and achieve if you have a line of dominoes like that. What happens if you push the domino at one end? Would someone, preferably a small person, like to come and demonstrate? You've had your hand up for a long time. You come forward and show me what happens. Wait for it. Yes! Fantastic. Every one of those dominoes fell over. Well, I'm going to suggest something. That this message that we have, this message from Jesus to tell the world about the forgiveness of God, starts with one person pushing one domino. That's how it starts. And that domino passes it on to the next one, and then on to the next one, and the next one, the next one, the next one, right to the end of the line. But you know what? If you removed one domino, I'm not going to set them all up again right now. You can have a go later. If you remove one domino out of that line, if one domino doesn't pass on that message that they've heard onto the next domino, what happens? The line breaks. So here it is, a simple visual illustration. How does the world get to know this wonderful message of the forgiveness of God? Well, it starts with Jesus, and it carries on with us. Passing on that message that we have heard. Jesus is alive. What news we have to share. Lord Jesus Christ, you have come to us. Number 594. Let's sing about it. Let's practice that message so that we're all the more equipped to share it with those we know, those we meet, those we share our community and our world with. Praise God. Let's sing. come and stand amongst us and say, peace be with you. And Lord, this morning we would bless each other with your peace. Those of us who will be staying here to explore more of your word in this room. And those who will be leaving us and going and exploring your word in other places. And Lord, we pray also for those who are not here, not able to be here. May your blessing of peace be upon them too. And so, Lord, we thank you for bringing us peace, bringing us forgiveness, bringing us new life in Jesus Christ. Amen. So those of you who are going off doing other stuff now, have a wonderful time, won't you? Now I want to ask Lynn to share with us the gospel reading from Luke chapter 24. Thank you, Lynn.
Okay. So it's Luke chapter 24, verses 36 to 49. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. He said to them, have you anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high. Amen.
It was the author of Psalm 119 who said this, open my eyes so that I may behold wondrous truths out of your law. I live as an alien in the land. Do not hide your commandments from me. Shall we pray? Lord, there are times when your words seem alien to us. There are times, Lord, when we feel like strangers in a strange land where we don't belong. Yet your words come to us in the place we are. They speak of our condition. They speak to people just like us. Open our eyes, Lord, so that we can catch sight of the wonderful truths that are found in the pages of your holy word. Help us to listen so that we can hear your Spirit speaking to our hearts, so that we not only hear but also understand. And having understood, may your words become part of us so that we can be witnesses to your truth, your justice, your love in this world where we live. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to ask Peter to bring our second reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthian church.
From the first book of Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. Now I should remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, and which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I have proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you, as of first importance, what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to someone untimely born, he appeared also to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace towards me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. Amen.
And so we continue to worship Jesus Christ, our Saviour. The hymn is 357, Jesus, the name high over all, in hell or earth or sky, angels revere and nations fall and devils fear and fly. This is the power of Jesus Christ. Let's praise his name. 357.
Thank you.
a word of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The Lord himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace, peace be with you." What could be more perfect? What better ending to such a traumatic and terrifying series of events? After all the tension building up to the cross, Jesus is alive, all is well, peace be with you. But look at those next words. They were terrified, thinking that they were seeing a ghost. The problem we have with the Easter story is that we think we know too much. We know how it's going to end. And we don't really notice what's happening along the way, the all-important details. Now, my wife loves crime and violence. I've got the scars to prove it. No, honestly, I've learned to like a bit of detective fiction. Last night we finished watching the latest series of Shetland. Any knowing glances there? Yes, you've heard of it. I watch it for the scenery. But I've got to remember to watch carefully what's going on in the action, the clues that are just dropped into the storyline. The visual references, the names dropped into the conversation. Otherwise, the story just leaves me right behind. And I end up asking, why did he just say that? Why is she there in his flat? And of course, I get the standard response, "Shut up, I'm concentrating." A week ago, the disciples were on a high, on the way to Jerusalem, crowds, elation, expectation, Hosanna to the King of Kings. And now, just a few days later, their world has fallen apart. Jesus is dead. They are huddled in a secret room, panic-stricken and scared. And there, without warning, Jesus is there in the middle of them. "Peace be with you." They were terrified, thinking that they were seeing a ghost. Of course they were. Why wouldn't they be? Their world was on its head. Their dreams had been shattered. They are frightened and scared. And he says to them, "Peace be with you." Peace? Peace? What peace? Peace was what they desperately needed, but peace was the last thing they expected to find right there in the turmoil of Jerusalem, the turmoil of their own lives, shattered by the loss of their dear friend, the man who was such an enigma and yet seemed somehow to make sense of everything. Some moments change history. 11,000 years ago, there was a moment that changed history. It was the invention of porridge. No, seriously, Andrew Marr said that, so it must be true. People started planting crops, and that resulted in farming, in civilization, in Quaker oats. And apparently, among other things, it also resulted in tooth decay and chronic back pain through bending down, planting things. Porridge changed history, after a fashion. Another moment that changed history, July the 21st, 1969. Remember it? You do. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. I'm sure we've all got our favourite history-changing moment. If you support a football team, you will have your favourite history-changing moment. Even Stockport County fans can remember promotion to the second division. But this gospel moment had a much bigger impact on history than any of those. But it starts like this. Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? But why wouldn't they be frightened and doubtful? You see, two friends of theirs had just returned from the village of Emmaus. And they'd come back with some very confusing news. It seems, they said, Jesus is alive. We've seen him. We've travelled with him. We've shared bread with him. But even they admitted that it had taken a while for them to recognise him. It's one thing to listen to the experience of friends like those two who'd just come back from Emmaus, but it's another thing to grasp reality for yourself. Look at my hands and my feet, says Jesus. See that it's I myself. Touch and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. But they still could not believe. They were so full now of joy and wonder. Terror had been transformed, but they didn't know whether to be fearful or joyful, because everything was on the move. Everything was changing. And it's all right for us to sit here in judgment on those disciples, waiting for the penny to drop, waiting for them to realise what we think we already know, that Jesus is risen from the dead, that everything will be all right in the end, that Pentecost will soon happen, that the church will be born. We think we know how the story ends. They didn't. Perhaps we need to work through with them in case we haven't really grasped what this actually means for us. They might have been full of joy and wonder by this point, but they still could not believe. So what was Jesus' response? Was it some profound teaching? No, it was to eat some fish. That says a lot. It says that actions speak louder than words. But it also says that at the heart of faith is not some profound and complex philosophy, but a simple earthly fact. Jesus is alive. And this is surely the heart of the gospel. Without those words, none of the rest of it makes any sense whatsoever. We know the story, but do we understand any better than those disciples did what the consequences really were? Jesus is alive. Now say those words here in this building and you're safe. But say those words out there in amongst your friends, in your workplace. Well, Jesus is alive? Are you serious? Do you honestly believe that? Not just in some fairy tale sort of way, like the White Queen in Alice in Wonderland, who made a habit of believing 10 impossible things before breakfast. See, there's a danger that we can convince ourselves that what we believe is actually ridiculous, and so we keep quiet, and the good news of Jesus remains unheard. These disciples needed to be sure of what they were seeing. John's Gospel has this wonderful story of Thomas, my favourite apostle. He wasn't there when Jesus came the first time into that room, and he didn't believe what his friends were saying. He wanted evidence. Perhaps he was the first one to realise that if you're going to say Jesus is alive, it's going to have consequences. People will think that you've gone mad. You will lose all your credibility. If you're going to say that Jesus is alive and mean it, then you'd better understand where that might lead. For those disciples, the stakes were even higher than for us. Making a claim like Jesus is alive would mean life or death. For some of them, it was death. Several of them would not survive the next few months. For others, prison, torture, persecution would become normal. The persecution we hear of Christians in North Korea is nothing new. It happens in more places than we would realise, as authoritarian leaders take power in more and more countries across the globe. And it's been happening since that moment that changed history. Proclaiming life in a world that's dominated by fear and death is asking for trouble. So this is our challenge. Have we realised what it means that Jesus is alive? We love Easter. We love the message of joy and hope that it brings, and the chance to eat chocolate again, and the chance to be joyful and positive. But for many of us, that's where it stops. We're happy to sing Jesus is alive in our church, with our friends, but that's as far as it goes. Of course, those disciples should have seen it all along, should have seen what was going on here. Hadn't they been with Jesus as he taught and explained patiently with pictures and with stories? These are the words that are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, he says, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. They'd spent 3 years, after all, with Jesus. They'd heard it all, and yet they still hadn't got it. Why would they? Rising from the dead was no more common then than it is now. Do we get it? And what does it mean for us? What difference does it make? Jesus knew the disciples would struggle with this. He knows we struggle with it too. He opened their minds, it says, to understand the scriptures. Opened their minds. And he said to them, thus it was written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. Those words we read, they seem so simple. Simple enough for a child to understand. But it's only surely when our minds are open that we grasp the breathtaking reality of the love of God expressed in the living Word, who is Jesus. Then we can start to comprehend what this means. Jesus is alive. I've heard people say that they're fed up of hearing the same old gospel stories. Breaks my heart. I'll tell you for nothing that I hope and I pray that I never do. Because I need to know that Jesus is alive. I need to be told repeatedly that Jesus is alive. I need to have my minds opened to the scriptures. I need to seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit day by day as I seek in the scriptures the truth, the word of God speaking to me, speaking into my soul. I need that. I need to hear that Jesus is alive. I need to know that in Jesus there is proof that God loves me, cares for me, has gone to the limit to secure my future. And I need to know what it means that the Messiah must suffer, must rise from the dead 3 days later. And in these troubled times, I need to hear these words from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Peace be with you. And I don't think I'm alone in that. I think the rest of humanity, all of the people of all the nations throughout the world, need to hear that too. Soon those disciples won't be cowering in that little room anymore. They will be empowered by the very Spirit of God, proclaiming his message of repentance and forgiveness to the whole world. Remember the dominoes. The good news passed from person to person, out from Jerusalem to the heart of the Greek-speaking world, to even to Rome, and then on to the ends of empire, and even to us in our little island on the edge of the known world. Peace be with you. Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your heart? It would be so easy to leave those disciples in that little room in Jerusalem, so far away, but what about here? What about now? What about us? Well, if you ask any bunch of people what their number one prayer would be, the majority would say this: peace. Peace is what we all long for. But it's the thing that seems hardest to find. Look at the state of the world. But don't even look that far. People long for peace in their communities and in their own lives, in their relationships. Jesus says, peace be with you. Those words weren't wishful thinking. They were demonstrated through an extraordinary fact. Jesus is alive. That makes all things possible. It makes a renewed relationship with God possible. It means healing of the deepest wounds in the human condition is possible. It makes forgiveness and restoration of relationships possible. It defines the deepest needs of the human heart. And it provides a solution in hope. The thing that we most need for human survival, the need to know that you're loved, you're valued, it opens up the possibility of change, of renewal, of new life, nothing less. So if you know that Jesus is alive, it'll change your life. And you won't be able to hide it, even if you try. If you saw somebody in the street out here who'd had a heart attack, and you happened to know where there was a defibrillator, you'd pass that information on, wouldn't you? You'd definitely do that if you knew the answer. You'd pass the information on because it might save a life. Jesus is alive. That news could change someone's life. Why wouldn't you pass that news on? Why wouldn't you? And forgiveness. If ever there was a need for forgiveness, it's in our world today. Conflict is everywhere, among nations, families, communities. And it all starts in here, in the human heart. The same problem lies at the heart of all conflict. And yet we know what the solution is. The trouble is forgiveness. So hard. But in Jesus, it becomes possible once more. Jesus is alive. And he reaches out in forgiveness to people who long for peace in the world and in their own lives. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive in the refugee camps of Lebanon, where Lebanese Christians who used to think of Syrian Muslims as their enemy, now they're learning what sacrificial hospitality is all about. Many Muslim refugees, exhausted by years of war, are turning to Jesus, finding peace, finding salvation, finding hope. Jesus is alive amongst the Iranian asylum seekers in this country. Many are finding Christ through Christian hospitality, finding peace after lives of oppression and fear Iranian congregations are apparently the fastest growing part of the church in this country. Jesus is alive in his church gathered here. As we live for him, as we share his compassion and offer peace through our prayers, through our words, through our actions, Jesus is alive in the hearts and the lives of people in Britain today who are finding healing, reconciliation, forgiveness in Jesus, finding his transforming love for them. Jesus is alive. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we cannot know where you will lead us or what you will require of us. But we know that your will for us is perfect. Give us confidence, we pray, to start the next chapter, to take the next road, to accept the next challenge as we seek to serve you. And open our minds, we pray, so that your will can become ours. By your Spirit, guide us, strengthen us, lead us to where you need us to be, light of our lives. Amen. In Jesus Christ, God reaches out to a broken world, calls to all, whatever nation, race, belief or alignment, he calls them all to himself. And so we sing. It's number 649. God, when human bonds are broken and we lack the love or skill to restore the hope of healing, give us grace. Make us still. Number 649. come to our time of prayer for the world and for its needs, and we'll cover a little bit of ground in this prayer, but there will be a time of quiet when I'm just going to invite you to call to mind the things that are most on your heart and mind at the moment, the things that the Holy Spirit might just plant in your mind to pray this morning. Let's pray. God, our Redeemer, our Saviour, speak your words of life, we pray. Speak into the places of darkness, where people struggle with sickness and pain, where bereavement and loss threaten to overwhelm us, where anxiety and depression suck the hope and vitality from life. Speak your words of life. Speak into the places of violence, where families flee from bombs and bullets, where teenagers feel the need to carry knives to protect themselves, where trafficked children cower in fear, where women suffer in secret, bullied and beaten by partners. Speak your words of life. Speak into the life of our nation, where arguments rage and yet principles are rarely heard, where the economy is all important but those with nothing have no say, where the news is filled with horror and scandal in or out to us and them, where thousands queue at food banks while others stash their millions. Speak your words of life. Speak into the lives and situations we hold before you as we call to mind the concerns of our hearts. Let's allow a few moments for the Spirit to prompt us in our prayer. Pray for the family and friends of Beryl Jones, whose funeral service is here on Tuesday. Lord, we pray that that will be a rich time of celebration for a life lived in faithfulness. Pray too for the meeting in 2 weeks or so here. Lord, we pray for the leadership and the membership and all those involved with this church. And we pray for the worship and the mission of this church to develop and grow and be so effective in this community for the future. Speak, Lord, into the places of happiness where we celebrate new life and new relationships, where friends gather, where families thrive and grow. Let us not forget from where all new life comes, where real contentment can be found. Speak your words of life. Speak into our lives. Help us to hear, to understand, to accept your words of freedom. Your sins are forgiven. Let us hear you calling us by name, promising new life and hope, speaking words of life. We pray in the name of the author of life, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. I've done my usual thing and forgotten to include the offering. Shall we take up the offertory during this last hymn? It's number 82. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art. Let's sing together number 82 and we'll take up our offertory. Join the hymn. Lord God Almighty, you created all things. You are the Alpha and the Omega. And by your will, we have eternal life. And so we proclaim with our words and aim to show with our lives that the Lord Jesus Christ, who was and is to come, is worthy to receive glory and honour and power. Let us go into the world to share the image of his kingdom. Amen.
Thank you.